Anybody who is successful in their own realm is not spewing negativity towards someone else pursuing their dreams. Which is true, because if someone came to you and they say, hey, Spags, I want to be a fucking, you know, college athlete, and I want to start on, you know, a sports podcast, and, you know, I want to be a big sports media guy, and I kind of suck at it right now. When are you ever going to go, dude, you're an idiot? What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Kids at Work podcast. My name is Matt Corman. You already knew that, though, and that's exactly why you're here today. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a great guy with me today. A couple notes on him. He's just an absolute fucking stud. His name is Ryan Spagnoli. Met you, I feel like I met you, like...
Yeah, we met before. We met in college, like, here and there, but obviously came closer, really, this summer.
This summer, when
because of hockey, I mean,
playing some men's league hockey. Yeah,
hockey brings everybody together.
I remember when I first saw you in the locker room, I was like, holy shit! Like, I remembered, like, who the fuck you were. Yeah. We never, like, had that.
No. I mean, I was always. I mean, I've known Dino forever, and then Kamara. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you were with them. Those are your boys. Still are your boys in college. And like I said, we met, you know, here and there, but never you know, came close like we did this summer. You know.
Yeah. So quick background stuff, housekeeping shit. Today is November fucking 25th, 26th, something like that.
29th.
It's Black Friday today. If you're listening to this, I'm probably going to release this today. Go on mattcorman.com, use the code CYBER20 for 20% off the entire MIH store. That is running all the way up and through the end of Cyber Monday, and then it's back to normal prices. Alongside with that, I'm performing two times in December, December 11th at the Middle East in Boston. It's a Wednesday night. About a 20-30 minute set. My buddies are coming through and they're out on tour, so I'm going to be doing that. If you want to come meet me, say what up in person. Promise I'm not a dickhead. We can definitely do that. And then December 21st, Saturday night in Manchester, New Hampshire, I'm performing. I think I'm going to bring on a new rapper, too, I want to talk to you about a little bit.
The old stomping grounds? What's his name?
Young Stu?
Oh, yeah. I played hockey with him.
Yeah, I was just talking with him. I'll talk to you about it.
On my hockey team, yeah.
Because I was thinking about, you know, bringing out some people that, like, no one's bringing me out when I was at Snooze. So I was like, why the fuck...
Wouldn't you do that?
That makes sense, right? So, yeah, we're going to be up at Sanu. Me and all the boys, we're going to probably grab some hotels Saturday night and go fucking tear it up.
Like the good old stomping grounds, Manch Vegas.
Yeah, a little Manch Vegas action. Tear it up. So get your tickets to that. If you're in the New Hampshire area, if you're a fan of mine, if you're in the MIH fam, go see that. And also, a new song dropping this week called Get Out the Way. I'm going to show Spags a little preview of that. And that's kind of all we got right now. It's a beautiful day. Spags here, like I said, we went to the same college. He's a sports guy. He was a dual sport athlete at one point in his life. For a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. But yeah, so I know you're from the area. For the people that don't know you, there are of course people that listen to this that do.
Yeah.
Can you give a little background on who you are, where you grew up, and what brings you here today?
Yeah, I grew up in Burlington, Mass, 22. Just graduated this past
spring. You're 22?
Yeah, dude.
You seem way older than 22.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, from Burlington, I went to Catholic High School. I went to Southern New Hampshire, kind of a crazy story. It's, you know, I played baseball, hockey my whole life. You know, I had obviously was fortunate enough to probably play, obviously did play both, but had to choose between both hockey or baseball kind of going into college.
Yeah.
Junior year, you know, I kind of had to make that decision what I kind of wanted to pursue. And at the time I was all baseball, like not that I, you know, didn't love hockey and, you know, I just didn't, you know, the whole... You got to go to juniors, play 2 years of juniors, you know, you're 20, 21-year-old freshman,
sure,
or go to prep school.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a weird situation for me because I wasn't always the best student.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like I'm a smart kid. I just never applied myself. Wasn't book smart, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you play juniors?
No, I didn't.
You went straight from high school to fucking...
Well, yeah, I went to high school. Then junior year, like I said, I had to choose between hockey or baseball. And at the time, I was like, you know...
Junior
high school.
Gotcha.
So I wasn't trying to like go do the whole prep school thing. I just felt like I wasn't a good enough student for that. It just wasn't me. And then also on the other end, like juniors, I was like, I'm not a great enough student where like I could take a year or two off and then go play somewhere and be like get back in the school mode.
Yeah.
Which I kind of sold myself short. And at the time I was all baseball. So obviously I went to Southern New Hampshire University, played there my freshman year. It was my first year without hockey. It was great. It was a great group of guys. I'm still friends with a lot of those kids. Mm-hmm. I was obviously like 18, and those kids were older, so they kind of took me under the wing. I learned a lot that year. We went 50-7, game away from the World Series. I played a little bit. Our team was loaded. I'm sure you remember. That was your junior year.
You guys are studs.
Yeah, 50. Yeah. It was a. We had
Didn't
a special
you guys,
group.
Went up, go to the championship. Or something?
We went
you guys
to the region.
10 like every year.
Yeah,
or something like that,
yeah.
Right?
And then we lost in the game before the World Series. It was cool. It was a cool experience.
Yeah.
I played a little bit. The shortstop got drafted.
Your freshman year, you played?
Yeah, a little bit. Like wow. 10 games I got in. So
That's
then
good.
That kind of like brings me to my whole story. Like, you know, I freshman year at the end of the year, you know, we had the whole infield was open. I played shortstop. You know, that was kind of their plan, I think, at least at first, was kind of like it was kind of my job to lose. It was wide open, but I think, you know,
yeah.
they kind of had their eyes set on me at least to start. And they had said, you know, go home. You know, the one thing you need to do, you're there. You just got to put on some muscle. You got to get a little bit bigger. And that summer, man, I crushed it. I put on like 10 pounds, like, you know, I worked really hard.
Yeah.
And then I remember like July, I was playing summer ball up in Nashua in the Futures League. And I felt like I had a hamstring pull. Like it was so weird. It was just like, when I was, you know, I mean, like it's just a hamstring, you know, tweak. I never really did anything it never really got better. I took some days off, you know, but it wasn't. And then it kept getting worse and worse and worse.
Do you remember when you pulled it?
No, dude. So it gets better. So obviously I'm like crushing. Like I've never worked this hard. Like I didn't really work much. I kind of devoted myself to the gym and eating right and all that. And a lot of it paid off, dude. Like I saw like, you know, everything got better. Like I was bigger, stronger, you know,
was it
playing a lot. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So I had a great summer and, I got back to school and it felt like it was like right in my hamstring, like right in my glute.
Yeah.
Just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I think it was like third day of practice up there, my sophomore year, like third week of September. So just the start of my sophomore year of college,
mm-hmm.
I go down for a ground ball and just my back just gives out.
What?
Yeah, dude. So it was so weird. Like I had to like get like literally carried to the training room.
Were you like, so I'm curious, like what did you do, like a movement? Were you running for the ball?
Like, yeah, just like bent over to get a ground ball like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? As the Almost speaker sure. falls, but something like that. So,
yeah.
You know, I just thought like bad muscle pull.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I went to the doctors the next day, got an x-ray, obviously nothing's wrong structurally bone wise. So they're like, yeah, you need an MRI. I wasn't getting better. I had this shooting pain down from literally my ass right down to my feet, like shooting pain, your sciatic nerve. I get an MRI, I get a herniated disc. I never knew what that was. Basically when you have like disc in your back, it's, you know, kind of loose.
Okay.
And it's sitting on your sciatic nerve, which is the longest nerve in your body, runs from your head to your toe. Like getting into a car was miserable, just like shooting pain. So I ended up redshirting that year. I tried rehabbing. I didn't want to get surgery just cause like, dude, back surgery at 19 is like a scary, scary thought.
Holy fuck. So you have to get surgery to make it
so
better.
I redshirted. I didn't do anything. That was one of the worst years of my life. Just because you work so hard for something and it just gets taken away from you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just like that. And I had no idea. Like I said, I thought it was a little hamstring pull, but it was my sciatica acting up and just yeah. one thing just blew it out. So I rehabbed for like 8-9 months, a lot of core work and back strength just didn't get better. So I got cut open in May. And then that year I took off. That was my first year without sports my entire life, like hockey or baseball.
So
and I was full time baseball.
So you went into school, right? And you go into school in the fall.
Yeah.
Baseball, I mean, you guys are playing all year round.
Oh, yeah,
so
man,
it's like
grind.
At what point did this injury occur, like your freshman year? And
it was like July going into my sophomore year. So
okay,
my
so
freshman
you did the whole
summer.
Freshman year.
Yeah, yeah, I was fine. I was fine. Like I said, I played a little bit.
Yeah.
And then that year, like it was also like it's kind of crazy because it was such a bad time. I'd never been hurt. Like I was in pain all the time. Like people, you don't understand when you have back problems. Like people who have back problems listening to this will relate. Like you never know how bad it is until you experience it. Like
That's
it's miserable,
crazy.
Man. And it ended up turning out to be like one of the best years of my life. Although like I was being an idiot in school, like getting in trouble, like nothing major,
being
you know what I mean? Just like,
kid, it's
yeah,
not...
just, yeah, getting written up, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
being
yeah.
an idiot just because I didn't have anything to do. I was so bored, like things taken away from me. I'd never had a year off.
Probably in your whole life.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. So, and I couldn't like lift nothing. Like I couldn't do anything, man.
Holy
it was
fuck.
Miserable. But it ended up turning out to be one of the best years of my life in the long run because that year off kind of opened my eyes to some things. I was when hockey ended my senior year of high school, we lost the state championship to Hingham in the Garden. Like heartbreaking loss. That was supposed to be my last hockey game of my life. And when it was over, I was
That's
like,
crazy.
Dude, because you know how hockey is, man. Like the brotherhoods. Like, you just you meet so many great people through the game.
You just said that, and I remembered my last hockey game, competitive hockey game, and I was I remember knowing. I looked at my buddy. I'm like, that's the last one. Like, competitive one.
Yeah,
I was
like, sucks. I mean, you got beer leagues, but like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, our beer league team is like so close. Our men's league.
Yeah.
But like, it's not. You're not playing competitively. You know what I mean?
Especially at your level, like you play. Like, I didn't play Division I hockey in the Garden or anything. You know what I mean? Like. That's a big deal when you're like, holy fuck, like, this is it. You like, look around and you're like, wow, like, this is crazy.
And it's crazy, like, dating back now, going back, like, when we lost, I was, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I had that, like, sour taste in my mouth for so long. Like, I didn't want to end my – and the whole time I was playing baseball my freshman year, I was, like, still felt, like, lost. I was like, this I think I made the wrong decision. Like, I wanna play hockey. This
really?
Is my sport. Yeah. So that year off when I got hurt, my sophomore year of college, it kind of opened up my eyes. I was the type, like – once hockey was over, I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to.
You're right.
I was just like wanted to kind of, you know, just get it away from me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to, like, I knew I kind of had that regret for not playing in college. So friends with a lot of the kids on the team, you know, Moquin, Berardi, like all those guys, Kirk Gutting, Brett Strawn, like I could name all of them.
Yeah. How did you all my best friends them? Because you were playing baseball.
Yeah. I mean, I knew Joe grew up with me in Burlington. And then that year I was off, like, they love to have fun. Like, you know, I mean, they're around a lot more. So I started hanging out with them. And, I mean, I played with and against some of those guys. So they kind of knew. And I kind of just threw out the idea, like, hey, you know, they were kind of going through a coaching change.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I might try to play next year. But, like, at the time, I was like, dude, I got to have back surgery. Like, this is such a long shot. So this is, like, April before I was getting surgery in a month. You know, it was a tough decision. I went and sat down with my baseball coach right before I left to get surgery. I got surgery right after final sophomore year.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, you know, this year was a lot for me. A lot of, like, reflecting, a lot of what I want to do. Like, I got 2 years left of school, 3 years if I wanted to go to grad school and play an extra year. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to do. And I was like, you know, I hope you can understand. Like, I want to do both. And he was like, ironically, he went to Franklin Pierce and did the same thing, but he went there for hockey and then played baseball. So like, he was like, dude, I'd be a hypocrite if I told you, like, go ahead, that'd be awesome.
Right.
So once I got that off my chest, like, that was bugging me. I was like, is this guy going to doubt my commitment? Like,
is this guy going to be like, hey, you're off the team? Like,
yeah. So, you know, I got surgery, skated a lot that summer, and I had no idea, man. Like, I was just going to go, because I looked at it, I was like, I don't want to graduate here and say, like, what if I did this? I was like, yo, if I try out and I don't make the team, like, whatever, man. At least I tried. Like, I tried to do it. I don't have any regrets. I'll just go back to baseball full time. But became close with a lot of those guys. There was a coaching change there. Sean Walsh is the coach now. He kind of went in with, like, an open mind, I think. You know, he said, you know, I don't know any of you guys. It's kind of just an open tryout. And, you know, I wasn't the reason, you know, we had so much success. But I was, like, more of a glue guy. Like, I'll you know. With my teammates, always close with everybody, you know, third, fourth
good
line.
Culture fit.
Yeah, killed some penalties, like, you know, played my role. And like I said, it was that year that sucked. My sophomore year turned out to be, because I don't know if I didn't get hurt. I always say this all the time, my parents, like, I would have probably just ended up playing baseball. Because I wasn't going to just, if I was playing, I wouldn't have been like, yo, I want to play hockey now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's crazy how stuff
that's
works out.
It's a fucking crazy story.
Crazy,
thanks for sharing it. I was excited to just bring you on, obviously, have you on the podcast, but just to kick it with you too, man.
I mean, it's nothing like, I'm not like, you know, it's not like a Tom Brady six-round pick, no, six Super Bowls, but it's...
A lot of people are like, dude, I think that, like, there's, like, so many things we could dive in there, and I think one of the things is that, like, there's somebody listening to this that their life goal is to become a college player, baseball player at SNU.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, SNU was I don't know, are they still kind of a powerhouse in baseball?
Oh, yeah, they kill it.
Yeah, I remember, like, they were fucking nasty, like, when we were there. But I mean, what, so, like, you obviously were good at hockey, right? Which one were you better at, like, would you say?
Dude, I don't know. I mean, probably, like, growing up, I'd say hockey, but the more, like, I took 3 years off so, I played in high school in my senior year.
Right.
And, you know, didn't play freshman year because I was playing baseball. Sophomore year, I was hurt. And then junior year of college, I made the hockey team and was playing baseball played two sports for a semester. And then that's the ending of the story. Like, you know, my junior year, I made the hockey team. I was so happy. Like, but we were in season then, you know what I mean? Like hockey starts in September. Baseball is like kind of fall ball. You're not really playing. And I had already been friends with the baseball because I've been with them for 2 years. So my main focus was to kind of get acclimated with those guys and really show my work ethic. Not like, you know, and I give them credit all the time. Like my exit speech at school when I was done playing, I said to the team, the hockey team, I was like, you guys could have treated me like, yo, fuck this kid. Like, why is he?
Sure.
After 2 years, you didn't play juniors. You didn't like take the same route as me. You got they could have just treated me like shit. And
maybe
been,
that's
like,
why I think you're older too.
Yeah.
Because mostly hockey guys, they do fucking 2 years of juniors.
Yeah.
Like my buddy's senior at UMass Dartmouth. I was just with him. He's 24, going on 25, and like you're 22 and graduated already a year. Yeah. Like I think of sometimes as he was like an athlete, and I'm like older. Maybe that's why.
No, I hear you. But but they like they took me in with open arms. Like they were awesome to me. It's like. Literally changed my whole college career. And like I said, I kind of took that time. And then I missed so much baseball in the fall just because I was trying to – I made the team, and then I was trying to find a role for myself in hockey. And like I said, get acclimated with the team and get going. And like I hadn't played in 2.5 years. So that was my main focus.
Holy fuck.
Didn't play. I had to watch my hours as like an NCAA rule where you can only do 20 hours a week. Like you can only practice for 20 hours. And I thought with two sports, it's 20-20, but no, it's like whether you play one sport or 10.
So how does that work?
You get
work?
20, so you have to like manage your hours. So I was going to like all my hockey stuff in the fall because I was in season. That's how kind of we worked it out. And then like any hours extra I had like 5 hours, I would go to baseball practice. So I was like going to hockey in the morning, going to lift, going to class, then going to baseball practice to either watch or play, depending on how my hours were. And I get home at like 7:30. Like I was going.
This is insane.
Crazy, man. It was crazy.
So how come? Did you feel like a challenge that like you kind of were getting special treatment or like other kids kind of? Because you were playing.
Yeah, like, I wasn't playing much in baseball. No.
Right. Well, you were still hurt.
Yeah. Well, no, I was back. I was back, but I was like, I missed my whole sophomore year. Yeah. Right. I came in, played hockey my junior year, the fall.
Yeah.
And then. Like, I was only getting, like, 5 hours of baseball time a week. So, like, how am I going to play? So then that's when, kind of before the Christmas break, my junior year, I sat down with a baseball coach. I was like, listen, man, like, I'm not fully committed to baseball. Like, I don't know how much I'm going to play.
Why'd you choose hockey? Or like,
I just, dude, I had that team has so many guys, the baseball team, right? There's so many good players there.
How many players on a baseball team? I don't know. I've never played baseball.
I mean, there's normally like 35.
I thought there was like 3,000 of you.
Oh, there's like 60. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But they're all like great players, man. Like, you get like D1 transfers.
Athletes.
Yeah.
Fucking sucks.
And if it's kind of one of those things where I felt at least, and I'm sure other people too, once you kind of, you know, it might be your turn to start or your opportunity, but kind of if you miss that or get hurt and you get passed and the other guy, it's like you get passed. You know what I mean? So like that year I got hurt really screwed me in terms of playing time. So I was like,
was there a guy ahead of you?
Yeah. I mean, my best friend, Josh Goldstein, he plays every day. Yeah, I'm so happy for him. He's my roommate for 2 years, talked to him every day.
Yeah.
And he plays now. He's still there. He did his grad year. He's, you know, captain of the team.
For him.
So it's awesome. And he was a hockey guy too. So it kind of worked out, but yeah, I was devoting like too much time to both, and like I was starting to play a little more in hockey. I got scratched like the first 5 games just because I wasn't ready. I hadn't played in 3 years.
Yeah.
And then like I said, before Christmas break, my junior year, I sat down with a baseball coach. I was like, listen, man, like this is crazy. Like I have 14-hour days. Like I can't even have a social life. I was still with Miranda for 4 years. Like granted, she was great. You know, gave me the time to kind of pursue that, but it was just taking up way too much. I was gassed. Like, so I just said, you know what? I'm going to go with hockey. I hope you can understand. And they were like, dude, we support you 100%. They came watch me play. All the baseball coaches, all the baseball guys were
that's
so
awesome.
Happy for me. Yeah, it was great. It was like, and that's part of the reason why it's like so hard to give it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I had such a great career and it was so fun. And I was, like I said, I have nothing special. Like I wasn't even like the best player on the team. I just loved like the guys and you know, kind of the camaraderie in the room.
Yeah.
And I just was like a glue guy. Like I was friends with everybody. You know what I mean? I was so thankful to be there that like I just kind of wanted to soak everything in and just enjoy it all.
Yeah.
Because it was such a crazy ride. Like if you were to tell me my freshman year, like going in there, my freshman year of college, playing baseball, said you'd graduate a hockey player and, you know, play 80% of the games you're on the team for the 2 years. Win a championship, end it like that. I would have said you're fucking crazy.
Yeah,
man.
No,
like,
fucking way.
Yeah,
right?
Like it's crazy how things end up, and
you know,
like I said,
son,
I wouldn't
right?
change it. Yeah, he's the man.
This he sounds similar.
Yeah, well, he had the Tommy John. He's like
similar kind
I
of.
I love his podcast, and I think you know, like we talked about it before. Like you're, like you kind of have that same. You know, you're doing music, but you also have a podcast too, and like talking about life and
for
stories.
Sure.
Like he's, I love Mike Sutton. He's the man.
That's crazy,
yeah.
Dude. It's so isn't this fucking weird too? How like we went through the same education system and had polar opposite experiences. Like, it's fucking gnarly. And I think, like I don't know.
Because you started your music stuff, what, your junior?
Yeah, so junior year, I started taking it pretty serious. Freshman year, my buddies, we were freestyling in the dorm, right?
And then, well, I remember you posted something on Instagram. I think I was a sophomore, and that's when you started to get a little bit, like...
Yeah, so I was a you were a sophomore when what? I was a senior?
Senior, yeah, but your freshman year, I remember, like, freshman year spring, so your junior year spring, you started to get, I started hearing this, and then sophomore year, you kind of took off, you started, like, being more open about it, you posted your freestyle on your Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's when, like, obviously, like I said, I knew you, but we weren't as close as we are today.
No, absolutely,
it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I was fucking kind of, like, I was never, like, an athlete, right? I played club hockey. Actually, whoa, I'm fucking lying, dude. I went to SNU to play lacrosse.
Did you really? Sometimes I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude. Well, I lasted fucking 3 captain's practices, and I quit.
Were you, like, you were a recruit? You were being on. You're going to be on the team, everything?
Yeah.
No shit. And I didn't know that.
Because I went into Calkin's room, like, 3 practices in. I was like, hey, to be honest, I realize I don't love lacrosse. I love the boys, and, like, I loved playing in high school. Like, I was good for my division, like, Division 3. Like, I wasn't anything special. But, I was just like, I want to play club hockey. I was friends with all the club hockey kids anyway, so I'm like, let me just fucking play puck with the boys. And so
it's just like,
I didn't even like lacrosse anyways. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, nothing against those guys, but like,
and that was the thing with baseball too. Like, I loved it.
Yeah.
But I always had baseball season turn into hockey season, and then vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, winter was hockey, and then when hockey's over, it's like, all right, weather's getting nice, it's baseball season. But when I was playing baseball year round, like, dude, we were going like 40 hours a week in the winter inside. I was like, dude, this is not me, man.
And you guys were all, I mean, I feel like every time I saw a baseball player, you guys were heading to lift, heading to practice. Like,
I have all the respect in the world for them. Like, it's just the craziest schedule.
How did you manage? So there's so many people that come with excuses because they find like they don't have enough time to do things.
Yeah.
How the fuck did you manage your time?
Dude, I mean, it was tough. Like I said, when I was playing both sports for that one semester, my junior year was hockey was 6 days a week, practice was 7 to 9. So I met baseball lifted 7 to 8. So like, baseball coach was like, yeah, it's not like you're doing nothing. Like, you're in hockey season, go to hockey practice. So I'd go to hockey practice from 7 to 9, go to class till like, you know, 2-ish. And I had to make my schedule around hockey practice in the morning, so I couldn't take 8 a.m.s, and baseball practice, which was 3:30 to 7 in the fall.
Does the school help you operate with that at all or no?
No, I just had to make it all work. Thankfully, like, obviously SNU had so many, I was young too, like it wasn't like I was a senior, like I needed to take this class.
Yeah.
So I had, you know, practice from 7 to 9, would go to class till like 2, and then go to baseball from like 3:30 to 7. And like, even if, like I said, if like I wasn't practicing, I was only practicing two days a week because of the hours, like I still didn't want to like not show up. Damn. So I'd still sit there and like be with the guys, the baseball guys, for like 4 hours. I wouldn't get back to my room till 8. It was homework, go to bed.
Glue guy, you know.
Dude, that's so that was my role.
A lot of guys I know that, you know, played college sports, there's kind of like this rule, like a 72-hour rule. I mean, you said like you'd like to party and shit, obviously.
Yeah, we had fun.
So, I mean, like you said, you didn't really have time off. So, I mean, when you finally got time off to kind of party and be yourself, did you feel like you kind of like let loose a lot?
No, I mean, I was never like crazy, dude. Yeah. Like, I like to have fun, but kind of when I was – thankfully, I think we had – hockey always had Sundays off, so – and sometimes for baseball, we had Sundays off too. So kind of just Saturday, I'd have fun, like just kind of forget about everything. And I was mostly hanging with the hockey guys like the whole time. Like, they became like my best friends. Like, I did everything with them.
Right, yeah.
But obviously, I was still friends with the baseball guys. Like, I lived with them my junior year because going into junior year, I didn't know if I was going to play hockey or baseball. I was more friends with the baseball kids. Like, I lived with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was fun, man. Like, it's like a crazy story.
How did you fucking motivate yourself to like, dude, like I said, like some people, like, I think we're downplaying a little bit. Like, still, it's a really big accomplishment, dude. There are people out there who their dreams to play college sports. There's people's dreams to like get on their varsity high school team right now. And like, you've done,
especially hockey. Yeah, they, tryouts start Monday.
We got some hockey guys listening, dude. Like there's like a lot of people out there who like they struggle with that. Right. But like, you conquered them all, right? And then, you know, we haven't got into it yet, but then you got your college degree.
Yeah.
And you graduated. Now you're in the working world, which we'll get to. But I guess if you have any type of, like, advice or, like, words of wisdom for people that kind of want to take that path, they don't necessarily have to do 2 sports like you. But, like, I don't know. Do you have any advice on time management or what worked for you?
Yeah, I mean.
As an athlete.
Yeah, I just kind of just take it one day at a time, one task at a time. Like, I'm always going. Like, I can't sit down. Like, I stay up late. Wake up early. Like, I've just always been that type of person. But I just think just no regret, really. That was kind of my main goal, just because, like I said, that year off when I was hurt kind of opened my eyes to some things I wanted to do. And I missed hockey so much, so I kind of went into it like, I don't care if I make the team or not.
Okay.
I want to at least, you know, attack this and try to live with no regret. Like I said, if I make the team or not, I can look back in 10, 15 years and say, you know what, I tried. Like, I didn't make the team, I tried. If I made the team, like, great, I did this. Like, I accomplished it. And I've always been, like, a persistent kid. Like, I go after my dreams and try to – and, like, I'm doing that right now, trying to get into sports media.
Yeah.
I kind of just have a tough time taking no for an answer, I guess.
It's interesting. So, like, I was listening – so I'm reading this book called Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, audibly. I've heard it over fucking three times over and over. And one of the laws I was listening to on the way up here is the law of least effort, and I fucking love it. And it kind of goes in line with what you're saying, that the universe operates as it should be. And you need to practice total and complete acceptance of every situation, right? So looking back, if you look back and say, hey, at the end of the day, I was going to quit baseball and I was going to move on to hockey. I don't want to say quit.
No, I
just stop playing hockey. And like, that's all that was ever going to happen. Like, that's how the universe operates.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think that if you didn't get hurt, that you would have played baseball?
That's what I'm saying. And that's what I say to my parents all the time. Like, it was such a terrible year. Like, I was in pain so much. Like, I'll play through injuries, you know what I mean? But like, your back, like, I had back surgery at 19. You know what I mean? Like,
had the surgery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got hernia disc surgery.
I didn't even have it.
Yeah, dude. I got a big scar on it. Looks like a tramp stamp in my back. But yeah, man. So I had surgery May of 2017.
Was that kind of scary?
Oh yeah, man. I mean,
have you had surgery before?
No, first surgery ever. I'd been healthy my whole life. Like, I popped my shoulder a few times, separated my shoulder, but
it's terrifying.
Kind of just throw it back in. Yeah. It's the same surgery Rob Gronkowski had. So I had kind of used him as a motivational story. Like, dude, he's the best tight end ever. Missed his whole senior year of college for the same injury, back surgery.
That's herniated disc too?
Yep, same thing. Had it two more times in the pros. So he's had it three times. I've had it once. And I was just kind of looking at it like, I mean, this guy can do it. Obviously, like, he gets top-notch treatment. I'm just, you know what I mean? But just it was scary. Back. I mean, like, I'm definitely going to have some you know, repercussions later in life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But whatever. Just stay healthy. And I've had no problems since, which is great. Like I said, I played 2 years of hockey. That's a contact sport.
Yeah.
Definitely, like.
You move great.
Yeah,
from what I know,
immensely.
Yeah,
after a couple Bud Lights, but
yeah. Brings me to my next point, though, like kind of like what you were just saying. So you said that it was kind of the toughest year of your life at that point. Ended up kind of being a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
When you were in it, though, I'm sure maybe there were a couple like lows mentally as well. Like,
oh yeah.
Maybe there was a couple of, you know, self doubt like on what your future's going to be like, if you're even going to play baseball.
Yeah, man.
Maybe you never know if a surgery's going to go wrong. You could be paralyzed. You know, thinking of the worst things.
Dude.
When you were in there, you know, you're going into surgery. I just want to slow it down. You're going in there, right? And you're 19 years old.
Well, I had rehab, too. I did PT for 9 months and it just wasn't working.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, so like...
Nine months is a long time for
me. Yeah, it was from September to April. And then I was just finally like...
Right, after
I was
the just surgery, you had that before surgery?
Just before surgery. Because like, they didn't want to cut me open. They didn't want a back surgery at 19. Like,
but
that's obviously...
That, when shit's not working, last resort. Like,
that's kind of when I was just like... I sat down with my parents and was like, fuck this, man. Like, this is like... I'm in so much pain. Like, I'm going to PT 4 days a week. And
how long were you in pain for?
Dude, like 9 months, 8 months, same thing, never got better. Like, I took me, like, people don't understand, like, it took me forever to get out of bed. Like, it was awful. Like,
how long?
I mean, I'd wake up and be in pain, like, a couple minutes. Like,
that's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, and my mom was, like, so worried about me, like, oh, like, don't get into pain, like, pain medication. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I mean, like, I'm an athlete, but
yeah,
it was so hard. I mean, like, you know, a couple ibuprofens would help a little bit, but.
What motivated you when you were in that time of like,
just like
nothing's fucking working, man?
Not being in pain. And then I, like I said, when I finally got cut open, like, this is a surgery people have when they're like 60, 70 years old. I was just like, I don't care about later in life. Like, I don't want to be 19, 20 and be in pain all day.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it. Just like, let's get rid of it. Yeah. Let's get rid of it.
Damn.
You know, so
you had the surgery and then you, how does it work? What's the recovery process look like?
It was like 8 weeks. It's kind of one of those things. They just shave the disc off.
Yeah.
So I have like one, I'm missing a disc in my back. So
what the fuck?
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy.
Is it like a metal insert or some shit?
No, just, I guess it's like, it's an L5. It's like right above your tailbone.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's obviously as you get older and your back starts to get a little, you know, beat up.
Yeah.
It's gonna probably give me some repercussions and affect me, but it's fine now.
At least you get to live with no pain. Yeah, right. Man.
I mean, I'm fine now, so it's like, you know, I don't want to make this like a bigger story than it is. It's just that that's cool. That was my
right. You know, somebody could be going into that surgery tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And they could hear this. That's the reason why I asked so in depth. Is like, I've had the craziest people point out things to me. They're like. Like things I didn't even realize that I'm saying in my songs or the podcast.
Or dude, like would you, if I told you 5 years ago you'd be doing this right now, I'd fly out to LA. Mm-hmm. People don't know that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep it quiet, but
we talk about it too. I mean, yeah.
Like you fly out to LA.
Yep.
You're sitting there, someone wants to sign you in the label deal. Yeah. Like, dude, like that, if I were to tell you that five years ago, you'd be like, what the hell? And it was kind of the same thing with my athletic career. Obviously it's over now and. You know, it's kind of struggling with life after sports and trying to find things that interest me and different things to get my mind off things. But, it's crazy. I mean, you can relate to it in a different industry.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. And most things just, like, impact, right? And that's why I say that. Like, somebody could be in the hospital recovering from that surgery right now and be like, fuck, like, damn, I'm feeling it. Or, like, they could be in pain right now in rehab. Rehab is working. They're like, you know what, fuck, I'll get the surgery. Spags got the surgery. I heard one Kids at Work podcast.
Gronk
got the surgery. You never fucking know, right? That's why the media is so fucking great, right? Yeah. I mean, if you know, obviously Gronk plays for the Patriots, but you were looking at him like, hey, man, this shit worked out for him. Maybe it'll work out for me.
Yeah.
But, it's the Kids at Work podcast. Let's fucking get going about kids that now have to go to work, right?
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of the background right there. Which is a fucking crazy story.
Crazy, yeah.
Dude, I didn't know that.
No, you didn't?
The best thing is fucking having, like, my buds on here and shit. Yeah. It's like, you talk to your buds on, like, surface level. Sometimes you can get deep. And, like, it's always good to have heart-to-hearts with people. When you have a fucking podcast, it's just a heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just find out so much more about people. So it's cool. But you graduate college with what degree?
Business admin and communication minor.
Okay, word. So, yeah, that kind of fits in with what you want to do and what you're doing right now.
Yeah, it's kind of... You know, I'm in business now. I'm doing sales, just like, SDR role.
How's it going for you?
It's going well. I mean, I was definitely in a rut, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I graduated. No, I'm good. I mean, it wasn't like a rut. I just like I said, it was just an adjustment. Like graduated first or second week of May and I was working full time. And like my dad said to me before, he's like, welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Like that's where, you know what I mean? Like it's true. And I was like, holy shit, man. Like, there's no breaks now. Like, I'm living for the weekend.
There's no
like,
summer.
Yeah, there's no summer. And, like, the whole time I was working, because I had internships that were 9 to 5 in college. Just kind of felt in similar role, like, getting ready for this.
Yeah.
And I just knew, like, you know, just get to August and then you go back to school and it's sports. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just to make money so you can survive in college, right?
And then
you get to September and you're like,
I'm still here.
Bro, there's no ending to this. This is like, and that was tough for me. Adjustment wise, because I had my whole life been sports. It's like, and obviously I'm doing stuff on the side now. I got a podcast for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Got over, you know, sneaky plug here, but like, been working at it since high school. 8,000 followers for Patriots stuff. But trying to get into the media world, like reporter, beat writer, stuff like that, cover the team. But it's so hard in Boston with the sports being so popular. It's a hotbed for sports. There's 4 great teams. This is like the hotbed of America for sports. It's the hardest job to get.
And those positions are kind of filled.
Oh, my God. It's so hard.
For years, right? These guys have been in these chairs for 30 years.
Exactly. So that's like ultimately my dream job. So that's kind of like a side gig I'm working on. I do that for fun mostly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to pay bills somehow. So I'm working now in sales. And I don't know if I'm decent at it. I enjoy it for the most part. But it's like an adjustment for me because it's been sports. And even on the side it is. And now I'm doing sales, which is like completely against it. So it's like...
It's like your whole life you're doing things you were actually passionate about. Yeah. And now 8 to 5 out of the week, you focus on something you're not necessarily passionate about.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, I like it and it's... Mm-hmm. I'm good at it and I don't mind it. The money's good and it's good to be working. And it kind of opens up your, you know, opens up your knowledge to other... You know, industries and other likings.
I can relate, bro.
But like I said, you went 9 to 5, quit.
Dude, I was working sales, same thing as you. I was doing like BDR. Yeah, you want to take a pee break?
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna rip a pee break. Back. Back from a little break zone. Quick beer. I haven't finished mine yet. Quick dip in a beer. Love it. Anyways, we're talking. I did sales, so I was a BDR as well as, and then I turned into like kind of like my own account executive and staffing. You do like full cycle sales or whatever. Anyways.
I remember you used to prank call me at work.
Man. Yeah. Fun fact, you used to prank call Spags and act like I had deals for him to close. It's kind of fucked up because, like, sales was fucking hard.
The first time you got me, I'm like, yeah. I'll set you up with a call, no problem.
Yeah. But she was kind of dope. What was that? What was I just talking about? Oh, things on the side, bro. It's interesting because, like, I feel like so many people, like you're saying you kind of want to get in sports media and shit like that. There's a saying that I kind of came up with when shit wasn't working for me. I really haven't talked about this, but I used to always want to, like, when you're making music, it's a very individual thing. And so you look at other artists, you're like, wow, this guy's getting 100,000 plays. This guy's getting a million plays. This guy's getting this many likes. This guy's getting this. You're always comparing. And, like, maybe they're with this label. Maybe they have this photographer working with them or all this bullshit. They know this influencer. And, like, you want to be a part of their team. A lot of times you can't be a part of the team just yet. So we were just talking about how some, like Boston is, sports media, the hub of sports media.
Hotbed, man.
Right? And so, like, all these positions seem to be filled. Like, my ex-girlfriend, she used to want to be a news anchor, or like she wanted to be in broadcasting.
Yep.
And like a lot of those people that are news anchors have been with like Channel 5 for the last like 20 years.
Internships.
Exactly. And so I invented the saying at the time was like, if you can't be on the team, just make one, right? And that's what I came with. That's when I invented MIH to make it happen, because I was like, fuck, I don't have a team. There was a couple guys who like I wanted to be like, in their fucking clique.
Yeah.
And like I was like, fuck, I don't have one. So I was like, I'm just going to build my own one, right? Same thing that goes for like, and now it's worked for me. And same thing, it's just like a little long-term game. Like, same thing with like podcasts. You're like, fuck, like, I kind of if you want to like hop on this guy's podcast or whatever.
Hit him up.
Or just, start your own.
Yeah.
If you want to be podcasting, start your own. So, like, you're saying, you got this sports thing going.
And it's cool, too, because with social media, like, has its pros and cons.
Uh-huh.
But in this particular industry, I think it's great because you can network yourself, right? Like, in past years, like, all these guys that have been there and, like, they're on, 98.5 Felger Maz, like, those type of guys,
mm-hmm.
they had to work. They're doing internships in high school and college, like, writing on newspapers. And you don't necessarily have to do that now because it's all about your brand. Like, it's all – you can network yourself, and I'm sure it's the same thing with music, too.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Network – that's the reason why I have that – well, I had that sit down with that label. That's the reason why everything's fucking worked, dude. It's just fucking improving your network. And that's why LinkedIn is literally like an underrated platform that I've been really utilizing. I know you're on there too, looking all good and shit. But that's interesting. I mean, so like, is the podcast yours specifically?
No, it's through SB Nation, which is it's like a partnership with Sports Illustrated.
What's the name of it? So you plug it up.
Patriot Nation podcast drops every Friday morning. Out today. I forgot to tweet it out, but yeah. It's cool. I mean, I got a guy, Pat Lane, with me. He's in his 30s. He's got three kids.
Mm-hmm.
Season ticket holder for the Patriots. One of my best friends to this day. I've got to know him literally through social media and writing for this website.
Is he like your age group?
No, he's a little older. He just does it on the side. He's a teacher. He loves doing it from a fan perspective. And obviously, awesome. He's like, if anything presented itself money-wise, like I support my family, I'd jump into it too. But obviously, me being young and still living at home, just graduating, it kind of gives me some leeway.
Yeah.
I'd say for my, my plan is just to continue to do it because I love doing it. Whether I'm getting, I get a little chunk of, a little bit of money just doing it on the side from a fan perspective. But if anything were to present itself and be able to support myself for it, that's my dream job. I'm jumping on it. But like at the same time, you got to be able to.
That was like music when I was working and then like I got to a point where I was like that jump, like I hit that period where I was like, holy shit, I could like pay my bills. Like, let's fucking go. Like, you know what I mean? No questions asked. Dude, you have so much fucking opportunity. Like you said, you're 22. Like, how long have you been on the sports podcast?
I've been doing this since, it's kind of funny, in high school I started it. I started my own blog, and my account was like 617 Sports Boston or something. And I had like a team of my buddies writing, we wrote like every day about anything
really?
Boston sports. Yeah, so I've had my Twitter since 2013, and then kind of when they went to college and kind of, they're busy doing other things. I was just like, I still like doing this. I'm going to make my own personal account. So I made my own personal account. Obviously, like I said, I got 8,000 followers on it that just do some Patriots insight on it. And like I said, it's more for fun now. But I do take it serious enough where like, my name's on that. So like if anybody looks at it, that's me and that's what I'm doing. And I'm trying to work towards my dream job, I guess you could say. And I don't really necessarily know. Like I'd love to be in radio, host like a talk show host or like be a podcast host or work for, like an ESPN or something like that. But that's so far down the road.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, it'll be interesting. Like I said,
dude, I think I might have like, I'm a little off air action. I might have some like good, like some advice or like some things that we could talk about. So like probably like Oh, because I definitely deal with that, right?
Like, yeah.
Literally, just different industries.
The same thing. It's the same.
It's all the same shit, dude. Yeah. It's all the same shit. But it's just like, you have so much. I mean, I listen to your podcast, yeah. And like you sound fucking great. And I mean, obviously, yeah, I mean, everyone's listening to this, they're like, wow, he sounds fucking great right here too. So I mean, I'm sure you could fucking dominate a space like that.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking dope to build a brand. Is there anybody else who's, I mean, like who rules it? I mean, does Barstool kind of rule? I mean, Barstool's more entertainment, right?
I mean, that's more like that's
they cover sports too.
That'd be a dream job too. Like, I'm literally like at the point where it's like I'll take anything that can support myself with. You know what I mean? Just because I've worked for 6 years. Yeah. I grew up with Mikey Grinnell, who obviously runs Chiclets, Spittin' Chiclets. I was best friends with his little brother growing up. I literally grew up in their house. So I'm friends with him. He's kind of helped me. He's been a resource for me.
Cool.
Some other Barstool guys like Jerry Thornton's a Patriot guy. Like, that, you know, you get to know people in that industry like you do with music. You know,
absolutely.
Arizona Zervis, like,
absolutely.
Unreal. Like, he's Unreal Music. You
number
know
one
him.
Song in the world right
and
now.
And it's all about who you know, really. Yeah, that's all it is. So it's like kind of basing ideas off, get a lot of top-notch Patriot guys in my podcast to kind of develop a relationship with them.
Yeah.
God forbid anywhere, you know, gets me in a year or two, I need something, you know, I can kind of hit them up down the road and they
networking,
know me.
Man.
Yeah.
Networking, man. I mean, hey, maybe MIAC, the sports division, we could start fucking developing right now, man. I wouldn't mind setting you up with a camera here and having you run a fucking
that
episode.
That would be bad.
That'd be fucking...
That wouldn't be bad.
Anything you can use to fucking...
Exactly.
Grow the platform and expand too. Well, that's fucking dope. Good background. That was a long background, but that was fucking. That's
me though. That's you.
That's all you. And you've been you're a relationship guy.
Yep.
Been
four
at it for
years.
A minute. Just like me. Like I well, you know, I was sad face, but
yeah, I've been with Miranda for 4 years. She's awesome. She's great.
Shout out to Miranda. What's her last name?
Pelican.
Pelican. Miranda yep. Pelican. I've met her a couple times.
Yeah, you have.
Love. Yeah, that's fucking beautiful. She's from Burlington too.
She's from Rhode Island. We met in college about four years ago. Crazy.
Dude, so where the fuck does Ryan Spagnuoli go now, man? We got the background, right?
I don't know. I'm just plugging away.
Yeah.
Definitely doing better with obviously I worked in Boston. Like
yeah.
I worked with John Camaro, one of my best friends, who's one of your best friends.
Yeah.
That's how kind of we got close.
Oh, that brings me to a point I wanted to back it up to. You said you hit like a before we go to that, because I don't want to go forward just yet, you said you hit like a little bit of a rut, right?
Yeah. It was just
people are in ruts.
Yeah. Not like a rut, man. It's just like it was an adjustment that I wasn't used to. Like, and like talk to my friends about it too. Like you go sports, you're committing yourself every day to something that you're passionate about. And then you jump into a job 9 to 5 that is like, it's a whole new whirlwind. Like it's a whole new life and you kind of feel robotic at times. You know what I mean?
Fuck
like you
yeah.
wake
what
up.
What got you through it though? Like what helps?
Just, you know, like family, friends,
okay.
Men's league. And like, I love hockey. I wish
to
I was
look forward to.
Yeah. I'm at every single game because I like, that's,
bro, you need it.
That's my, that's what I look forward to every single week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I obviously have regrets. I could have went back for a red, since I redshirted that year I was off, you get 4 years eligibility. Obviously some schools are 5 years of a grad program. I kind of had that and still kind of do, but it is what it is. Like, could have went back for grad school. Obviously, it's, you know, a boatload of money.
Yeah.
And that's just opening up another can of worms.
Yeah. Here we go again.
To play another year, but I was like, dude, we won our conference first time in 5 years. Kind of shocked a lot of us.
Not a big deal.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was a crazy story. Like,
I wasn't at Stu at that time.
Yeah.
It was fucking dope.
So I was just kind of like, you know what? I went out on top. You know, you're not going to really top that feeling. It was like my best friends.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'd rather go out on top than go back a year. And
what'd that feel like?
Dude,
I mean, when's the last time you guys won the ship?
2014. So none of those guys did. We beat our rival, St. Ace.
Yeah.
Shout out Kurt Gunning. Played unbelievable that game. Had like 50 saves.
Let's go, Kurt. Kurt's still there, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's senior now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I talked to him a couple times. Stud, I should have him on here, man. That's fucking cool. Dude, what was it like? Were you seeing playing time then?
I played my junior year. So the first year I was on the team, I think I got scratched the first 9 games just because I wasn't ready. Like I said, I hadn't played, you know, 3 years, but I was just, I looked at it like, I'm lucky to be here. Like, I'm happy to be here regardless. Like,
yeah.
I was rooting for my team and for those guys that were so close to me. And
yeah.
I got an opportunity, you know, someone got hurt and played my first game right before Christmas break, played pretty well and kind of stayed in the lineup ever since. Developed a little bit of a role. It's crazy because I was like, used to, you know, being like a skill guy, I guess you could say in hockey terms. Like, you're top 6 forward, you're getting power play time, scoring like in high school, but your roles change. And then I go to college, I'm like a third, fourth liner, killing penalties. But
dude, some professional
I embraced it. I was kind of like, I'm here. this is what I want to do. I'm going to do anything I can to help contribute. You know what I mean? So it was awesome.
Dude, there are like some pro hockey players. I forget who it was. He was like, yeah, like I was a skill guy my whole life. I get to the NHL and I'm here to fight people.
Yeah.
It's, and it's like, what the fuck, dude? You know what I mean? It's just like people are so fucking good.
Yeah.
I'm going to flip it real quick. Which I never really, which it was a recommendation from somebody. Cause I didn't really do this. I kind of run this like an interview and I'm trying to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Cause like it needs to be more conversational. So I'll flip it on you. If you have any questions like to ask me or like that comes to mind,
well,
just
I was,
give it a rip.
Like I said, we kind of have similar backgrounds in terms of like, passionate about something and kind of obviously you have an adjustment in your life. Like how was it? You quit your job, I think, right around the time I stopped working in Boston, then got another job a little bit closer to home.
Yeah.
How was that? Like,
dude, it's fucking
quitting your 9 to 5, and then you're at that point where I want to be, where I'm like, now this has always been my goal. My dream job is to be in media, and I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
But it's like, I want to, what did it feel like to finally be like, holy shit, I'm here now, and like, this is my life. Like, I can support myself doing this.
Dude, so a lot of times you look at, the saying, the grass is greener on the other side, right? It goes along with, I want to say this correctly. That's a fucking good question. Jeezy one time said, after he was getting interviewed, after he performed at the Oracle Arena, which is his hometown, right? So, like, it'd be me selling out the TD Garden in fucking 3 years. And he got interviewed after, and they were like, oh, so, like, you know, how's it feel that you, like, finally made it? And he was like, you know, like, it didn't hit me. And because you're just working on the next thing. You're working on the next thing. The next day, I need 1,000 plays. I need 10,000 plays. I need 100,000 plays. Open this clothing line. Doing this. Open for this tour. Blah, blah, blah. Hit this milestone. And he's like, it didn't hit me until I took, like, 5 seconds. I just stepped back, and I was like, holy shit, like I'm performing at the Oracle Arena. I sold it out. My name's on the ticket. There's two openers, you know? I kind of attribute that to this too. I finally hit this part where I was like, my paychecks are good enough in music that like I can just live off this shit. Fuck it. Let's do it, right? And so you go into it and then it was cool and it was dope and it still is. It's just the pressure fucking 10 times on. Because like it's super, it's just a really individual thing. Like I'm trying to like run a business on my own and it's just like super stressful when shit didn't work before, but I had a fucking salary, right? And I had, it doesn't matter if music doesn't really work out because I can go be a normal fucking white suburban dad and just like live well. Now it's like, all right, I quit all that. So like if this shit doesn't work out, then I have fucking nothing. And so it gets scary. Like for instance, like if you were like, all right, I hit this point where, you know, I'm this media guy. Let's say you get to this point. You remember, I'm 2 years older than you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, everybody's timeline is their own. But think about it that way, right? 2 years from now or a year from now, you can fucking quit. You could have this whole this clothing line. You could have this YouTube channel with 500,000 subscribers. You could have a podcast dropping, like, twice a week.
Yeah.
All the shit. You could be touring, doing your podcast live with shit, right? That could fucking happen, right? That could literally happen. But, like, the pressure is just fucking tenfold. And I feel it a lot now. So it's just like, it's a lot to keep up with because there are days when, like, I'll wake up and it's, like, it's not like you wake up and you, like,
you... Well, you're getting back into it now, right?
Yeah. Like... So I'm looking back into the corporate job. So I've had two offers and then I have an in-person interview this Monday. Going to get a little rip. And, but a part of that is because, like, I'm a social person. I know you are as well. Huge difference between waking up every day and going to see a bunch of people and then work as a team. Like, we're sports people. You work in a team environment. And then, like, sales, you're calling people.
You're in a team environment, too, yeah.
Yeah, you're closing fucking deals. Here, though, like, you wake up and, like, if you take 5 seconds, it's just silent, right? It's just quiet. So it's like, I have my whiteboard, and I have to do that because you have to give yourself a schedule. Because if I don't, I could just be lazy. Because at the end of the day, we pull my Spotify, I have 100 people listening right now. The paycheck's going to come in, right? So it's like, are you going to do something or you're not? Because there's no coach telling you to do anything.
Yeah, it's all on you.
Yeah, so it definitely got a little more tougher when you take away the boss and you're now your own boss.
And now will you eventually like sign a label deal? Would you have a boss? Is that how it works with that? You would?
Yeah, so.
Because they kind of sign you, so it's all, it's like up to them now, right?
Yeah, so it's like you, it depends on what your deal is. Like how my situation would work out right now from what I'm being currently offered is that like you would have managers and stuff. And it's just a lot more people in the room. So I make a song, and instead of me saying, yeah, this is good, I design the artwork, that artwork's good, I'm going to upload and release it on Saturday. It's when you're signed with a label, it's, all right, this song's good, here's the artwork, how do you guys like it? They say, all right, that's a back burner song, let's record another one. And they choose what you release, and they also choose how it gets mixed up. They choose what studio sometime you record in, and they also can choose, you know, what type of image.
Are you looking forward to that?
I mean... Not right now.
Yeah.
Or else I would. So
you
I
like
did
being independent right now.
Yeah. Because everything's working out right now. The only reason I would need a record label right now is just to fund. Because my ideas, like I have huge fucking ideas that like hundreds of thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a good thing going for me right now. We're talking about in terms of like a record deal. We're just kind of holding out right now because I want to develop the platform a little bit bigger and I want the numbers to be bigger because I know my worth and I think that like I'm worth millions. So it's like,
shout out Nelk, they helped you out big time,
dude. Right? Fucking yeah, I just shot him a fucking note actually today.
I'm huge yeah. fan of them. Me and
are you?
Me, Moquin, Kurt, and my other kid on the team, Chuck Davis. We literally...
You brought that up to me the first time I saw you in the locker room, too. You were like, oh, shit, Nelk, these are shit.
Yeah, like, wow, dude, yeah. like, I've been a fan of them for a year now, probably. We literally watched probably every episode, like, 2 times.
Really?
And then I remember your song was on, I think, was it Light? No, it was...
Need Your Lane was with the
Need Your Lane, first one they yeah, used. That was yeah, the first yeah. one they... And Moquin hit me up and was like, yo, they just used Corman's shit. And
that's really?
I ended up meeting you, like... You know, we became closer that week because that was
yeah.
right around summertime when
yeah.
Men's League started.
Yeah.
And I was like, no shit, dude. That's when you're like, yo, like, I made it.
Yeah. yeah
I no, a million, bro. Millions and millions of views.
Bro, that jumped everything. I went from like getting like, I don't know, 100,000 streams at fucking, no, probably like 50 to 80 at that time. And now you look at it now and like, dude, I'm almost at 1 million streams a month. Like, it's just like mind blowing what the fuck happens with a little, and like, they helped a ton, dude. Like, shout out to them. I just sent them a bunch of fucking MIH merch to their house, so hopefully you guys get it. If you ever listen to this shit.
Did you send it to them?
Yeah, I just shot them a little care package action, yeah.
So Four God might and Jesse might be wearing some MIH stuff.
Hopefully, you know, maybe they'll rip it in the gym or something. They got their own merch on, which is flying off the fucking shelves. But I just did more out of love,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Because, like, dude, like, little things like that can change people's lives. Like, literally,
and
like...
I'm sure they appreciate it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
they're a YouTube sensation.
Yeah.
I'm sure people help them out.
But so it's like interesting to like talk with people because like I met like a couple, like we talked about AZ, right? And you talk about like, even like for me too, in some scenarios, it's like people like that develop platforms, like you don't forget that like one day, like you didn't have the platform. Like just because like Nelk has fucking 3 million subscribers, right? And they get a million views on every video, like you were watching their videos for a long time. They didn't forget when they were with 9-0 and Jesse in the car and were just filming out of their fucking... piece of shit just going to the mall and getting 100 views. Like, I remember when I got my first 100 plays. I put it on my Instagram and I was like, 100 plays, like, let's go. You know what I mean? And, like, now...
No, that's nothing.
Now it's like, crazy. If I'm getting 100 plays, I gotta delete the song. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, you don't fucking forget. So they obviously respect it. I tweeted something the other day that was, like, people that are fucking doing something... Oh, I want to fucking say it right. I'm gonna look it up. But it's, like, it's along the lines of fucking people that are, like... I'm just going to pull this shit up. I'm just going to pull this shit up because it's honestly, it has good value in it. Basically, people don't fucking hate on other people that are doing shit. They just fucking respect it.
Yeah.
That's kind of all it is. But no, they're fucking dope. They're hilarious, dude. I mean.
So funny, man.
I wanted to do prank videos like them at one point, but then I fucking, I don't know. I don't think that I could fucking do that shit.
They're they're crazy too, dude. Like the amount of trouble they've probably got in over the years.
I feel like you could be a fucking YouTube guy.
I couldn't be doing that stuff, man.
Where the fuck is this shit? You know what? Maybe I'll just fucking give it up. I'll give it two more scrolls. One. Here we go. Anybody who is successful in their own realm is not spewing negativity towards someone else pursuing their dreams, which is true. Because if someone came to you and they say, "Hey Spags, I want to be a fucking college athlete, and I want to start on a sports podcast, and I want to be a big sports media guy, and I kind of suck at it right now." When are you ever gonna go, dude? You're an idiot.
Yeah, no, never.
Okay, right. So like your coach at baseball, that was like, I'd be a hypocrite, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody who's working on something itself isn't gonna spew negativity towards other people who's working on it right now, man.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, I don't know how many people were in the weight room. When are people hating on people in the weight room?
Never.
You don't hate people in the weight room, themselves. They're getting better. That's the same thing with entrepreneurship,
exactly.
too. It's like, this kid's fucking starting the Leaf company. I mean, I don't know who's going to buy Leafs, but a shout out to you for starting it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's kind of how it fucking goes.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, what are we at right now? 52 fucking minutes. That's still, I don't know why that kind of flew by.
Yeah, it did.
Not too bad. I mean, yo, okay. Any words of advice if for Ryan Spagnoli, for anybody listening to this? I'd like to go with a...
I'm terrible at this, but I don't know. I would just say, just like I said, take it one day at a time and don't...
Wise guy for 20... I mean, I'm young too.
Yeah.
But like, it's interesting when you talk to people that like, you're like, this kid's, who's like... kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
Not.
Oh yeah.
Dude, you're fucking wise and smart as hell. Like you've seen a good amount.
Yeah. If I open up a chapter book, I'm probably not too smart, but everyone's smart. Everyone's smart in their own ways, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just say, yeah, take it one day at a time, and if you have goals, to chase them. Obviously, sports are over, and some of my best friends that I played with in college are pursuing their dreams, and their dreams are to play pro hockey. And like I said, Chris Moulton's one of my best friends.
Shout
he's playing
Moulton,
right
bro.
Now. Yeah, he's playing right now in Sweden.
Yeah, he's in Sweden.
Check in with him every day. I'm happy for him to be, like, that was always his goal. And then Obviously, there'll be some kids this year, I'm sure, that will kind of chase that too. So yeah. I kind of look at it like, you know, I was never good enough to play at that level, but if my friends are doing that, I'll live through them, and I'm always checking in on them, seeing how they're doing. So,
guys, keep fucking grinding out there.
Absolutely, you too, Matt.
Yeah, one day at a time. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to the Kids at Work podcast, guys. If you're still listening to this, you're fucking dope. Clearly, you like us. Go follow Spags. Is that Ryan Spagnoli?
Ryan_Spags on Twitter.
Ryan_Spags. Go check out the podcast. What is it again?
Patriot Nation podcast. Comes out every Friday morning.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, you clearly like podcasts.
Yeah.
So just literally open
your search. If you need some Patriots, if you're a Patriots fan, just tune in.
Look it up right now and just save it real quick. You don't have time to.
It's on Pat's It's Pat's Pulpit. PULPIT. On all the podcast apps, there's a bunch of shows.
It's on Spotify too.
Yeah, everything, Stitcher, all that stuff. So
that's Pulp. Okay,
it's
cool.
It's through there. And then obviously, there's a bunch of shows each day that come out from a Patriots perspective. Mine comes out Friday. So, yeah.
Fuck yeah,
yeah.
All right, guys. Yo, if you're listening to this right now, then a song. I probably have a new song out right now. If you're not, I did just drop Life Dreams, and we also did just drop a clothing line. I'm plugging a lot of shit. We also have two shows in December. That's because we're doing a lot of fucking things, guys.
I'll be there probably both Boston and definitely Manchester. Manchester.
Boston will be dope, dude. We're going to get turned. But I mean, Manchester's going to be dope. Guys, I mean, we're all from Snoo here. If you're listening to this shit, we're going to fucking raid Saturday night at Snoo. That's kind of all I have today. How do you feel about that one?
I feel good, man. That was a good time. We're going to do it again.
Let's close it up, shop, guys. Have a good day at work today. Peace.